piece like this. In your evidence, 3.15, you've made mention of the definition of good environmental management practice. Most of the time we refer to good management practice, and I was just wondering, adding that word environmental, did it add value to it, and what did it actually mean for the great wider plan was what went through my mind when I read that.
I think, well, good environmental practice, I understand, is used in the policies or the objective, 18. And are you saying that there's a definition of good management practice? Is that?
So I think the issue might be, Commissioner, that in Objective 18, in parentheses, there's a term, good bracket, environmental bracket, management practice.
Yes.
And that's, I think that's the only time that phrase is used.
Yes.
Elsewhere in the plan, it's good management practice, and a number of submitters have said, well, let's just make it consistent and delete the word environmental.
And just to add to that, I think in terms of what good environmental practice or better sort of means, is perhaps not the same as the best practical option in terms of discharges, that sort of thing. I think it's a term that's better used for land use management and farming, but when that term is picked up and applied to discharges and things, is that the same as best practical option? Maybe there needs to be another objective relating to industrial type discharges referring to best practical option rather than requiring good environmental management practice. That's probably my point of that section of evidence.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You made the plea about drought conditions and having to kill not only regular stock but sometimes increased numbers, which we understand. Do you have any information on discharge impact under those low flow times?
Might be better for Doyle to answer that one.
Discharge impact. I suppose, just speaking sort of generally, I mean, that's going to be times during low flows, so the impacts are going to be a little bit lower during those times. But we do have measures that we put in place in terms of contingency plans to restrict some activities on site and stop some activities on site to minimise our discharge or our water use, and also regular ordering and things like that around the plant on a daily basis during those times. To check that water's not being used unnecessarily on the site, and also all of the site is informed of those conditions as well, low flow conditions, to try and minimise water use during those times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How regular would this occur? Is this a once a season, once every five seasons? I know there isn't a pattern to weather, but I'm just trying to get a feel for.
I've been there for two summer seasons now, and those low flow contingency plans at least have been triggered during both of those seasons.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, just in terms of the drop test, it's just historically, have there been leaks, or is there a method to detect those from either site?
There was an investigation undertaken with the Lawnville plant, and it detected no leakage.
That was to do with the recent resource consent process.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. So I'm trying to understand some of the reasons for you wanting to severely modify or delete some of the policies in the plan. And you do have an explanation in your evidence there, but looking at, for example, there are a number there, but just for an example, policy 15, which you really want to make substantial changes to, and I just wonder whether those changes that you're proposing there are consistent with giving effect to the policies of the council of the plan, particularly, sorry, objectives of the plan, particularly objective 3, 4, 5 and 6, which talk about protecting water quality and providing for customer use, for example. It seems that by deleting the words from the policy that you recommend be deleted, then that would be difficult to achieve those objectives, unless I'm getting your meaning wrong.
I think, well, the critical issue is that these policies seek to avoid either reduction or adverse effect, which is a pretty stringent test in the current sort of case law environment that we're in. And if you are looking to avoid a reduction or you're looking to avoid an adverse effect, effectively the rule framework needs to be prohibited to give effect to that policy. So I think that's a too stringent test in terms of the policies. And then giving effect to the objectives, they are outcomes, and the policies need to be sort of the methods or instruments and how to give effect to those outcomes. And the outcome for now is that you need to sort of achieve compliance with the Appendix E limits. So for me, I'm suggesting for policy 15 is that you don't seek to avoid adverse effects or avoid a reduction. You rather manage the waterways to best achieve compliance with Appendix E water quality standards to give effect to the objectives, yeah, which seek to maintain and improve water quality generally.
Did you suggest that we needed to change Objective 6 as well, which is, I'm not sure if you
did. Yes, general to refer to the freshwater management units,
yeah,
to achieve, yeah, no reduction in overall sort of water quality.
Okay. We haven't used the word overall in the regional policy statement. That was a deliberate attempt to avoid that overall concept. Is there a problem with that too?
In the regional policy statement, it talks about freshwater management units, I think, in the regional policy statement. I don't have that in front of me, but I was involved in that, and I'm pretty sure the outcome was that the policies refer to maintaining water quality within the EPMUs, which is what Alliance is seeking in terms of Objective 6 changes.
Right, so you're telling us that what you're proposing to is not in conflict with those objectives,
no,
or the RPS?
I don't think so, no.
All right, good, thanks very much.
Couple of issues. Paragraph 4.5. So it's policy 13. There's been a large number of submissions on this policy. This is a question I've put to a number of submitters. Do you think it would be appropriate to protect the health of humans and domestic animals and to safeguard aquatic life? Paragraph 4.10, and the amendment you suggest there, and my question is, what guidance does this policy provide to decision makers over and above Part 2 of the Act?
Well, it gives a bit of a flexibility for developers to sort of pick a range of options in terms of managing their effects on water quality.
Is any decision maker reading that policy would say, yeah, well, I know that's what I can do?
Yeah, versus, I'll just remember what policy reading reads. Well, again, I think it's probably a concern about the terminology used in policy 13 now, which is, you know, manage land use activities and discharges so that water quality, in particular aquatic life, is protected. Protection sort of means, you know, you can't touch it, it needs to stay pristine. So I think avoid, remedy, mitigate just gives a bit more flexibility as to the approach you might give to managing those effects. I think protection is too high a test. So I think there needs to be some different words there.
But you've just agreed that it's appropriate to protect human health and domestic
health. I think human health is, yeah, that's probably appropriate to protect that.
Okay. Paragraph 5.7, not a question, but just note the point you make that there doesn't seem to be any reason why 9B and 10A should be worded any differently, so I understand that point. And the point you raised with us at 5.18, that's been raised by a number of submitters as well. Other industrial and trade submitters, and also the territorial authorities. We have large ponds where it's difficult to do a drop test, so that's an issue that we're going to have to deal with in deliberations. So just to let you know, that's very much on our radar. Now, 8.3, in terms of the relief you're seeking there, I'd just like you to point you to, you might need to write this down, I'd like to point you to the evidence of Peter Callender from Paddle Dallymore Partners for Fonterra at his paragraph 6.1 to 6.7, where he raised a similar issue for his client. We gave him leave to provide further evidence on the potential effects of granting that relief, which he did. We call it homework, so he did his homework and he provided it to us, and I'm pretty sure that's been posted on the web page, and if not, our assistants can provide it to you. So we'd give you leave to do the same, provide us with some evidence on what the effects of granting that relief would be on other users and existing consent holders in the area, and we'd also need precise details of the changes that you're seeking to the plan. And for an example of that, see page 78 of Appendix 2 to the evidence of Gerard Willis for Fonterra. So do you need me to repeat any of those references?
Don't think so. Got that.
Okay.
Yep.
So if you could do that for us, that would be very good.
Sure. No problem.
To the staff, the issue that Ms. Hunter has raised with regard to Appendix E is one that I think we'd like you to address in reply, namely that Appendix E, as we understand it, is very much a rollover from the existing plan and is an interim placeholder until limits are developed under the FMU process. So the question I have, is there scope within the submissions to indicate within the plan, preferably within the start of Appendix E, the fact that it is designed to operate until such time as limits are developed under the FMU process, and to provide clarity in that regard. And the reason I'm asking that is to avoid the situation where perhaps by inadvertently we have two sets of limits or standards applying once the FMU process gets underway, which would be confusing and undesirable. And the other issue I'd like to address in reply is the issue that Dr. James raised regarding an inconsistency between Appendix G, if I've understood it correctly, which specifies 100 metres upstream and downstream criterion, whereas the text in the plan may have a 1 kilometre upstream and downstream delineation. If you could just check that and advise us, A, is there an inconsistency, and if so, how should it be rectified? No more questions, but thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.